Together with American Songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Bad Child over Zoom video. Isaiah, aka Bad Child, talked about growing up in the Toronto area. He actually moved down quite a bit within Canada. He talked about learning piano by listening to the radio and trying to mimic what he was hearing on the radio. He eventually got an iPod Shuffle from his mom. I don't know if you remember those. They look like little clips. And his dad had a computer that he was transferring music to. The first record he saw was The Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails. And his dad's like, you're not allowed to put that one onto your iPod. So, of course, he puts that on his iPod. And that changed his life as far as music goes. A huge Trent Reznor fan. He started producing on Fruity Loops. He talks about putting out his very first song after he had graduated from high school. He had never released any music with his voice on it. He puts out the song called Bad Child. It goes crazy. And that's what began his journey in music. Bad Child also talks about the concept behind his new record, Free Trial. You can watch the interview with Bad Child and myself on our Facebook page and YouTube channel, at Bringing It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter, at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Bad Child. This is about your journey in music and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah.
Long journey. Yeah.
Oh man, so many emotions at once, you know. It's been sure? My whole life pretty much.
I love that though. Well, tell me about where did you grow up originally?
Well, I grew up in Kitchener-Waterloo in Ontario. I wouldn't say it's small. It's like a university town outside of Toronto. Yeah, and I spent most of my life here and back and forth from Toronto. And, you know, that's it's been my resting place so far.
Sure. Is that your childhood home you're in right now?
No, you know what? It's funny. I think I've moved 7 or 8 times. I moved around a lot as a kid. So this is like the longest I think I've been in one place.
Oh, really? Wow. That's fascinating. Just around the same area? Or different parts of Toronto?
Well, different parts of like Ontario and Toronto and stuff. But this is like Kitchener-Waterloo is where I always gravitate back towards this area somehow.
That's amazing. Where'd you learn music or how'd you get into music?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. Well, there was a time and she had this just horrible piece of shit piano. It was just so bad. And it was in a house fire and it was in her garage.
Oh my gosh.
And like covered in stuff. It didn't work. And there's all out of tune and all that. But I think it was like 6, 7. And I would just go in there and I'd bring a radio and I'd turn the radio on and I'd try to learn songs while they're playing on the radio.
That's pretty brilliant though, right? I mean, to try to pick up the notes and everything, and that's quick timing. You don't have time to rewind it, right? It's like, all right, next song's coming. Let's try to figure this out.
Yeah, it'd be agonizing. I'd be like, oh, I hope that song comes on again today.
Right. Well, nowadays, if you turn on Top 40, you'd actually have a chance to probably figure it out since they play the same record every 5 songs.
Yeah, oh God.
So piano, did you ever take lessons or was it just off ear trying to learn?
Well, I think the fundamental learning I've done my whole life has all been self-taught, by ear, and just watching people do stuff. I find like when I watch somebody do stuff, I can sort of fake it until I can actually do it.
That's awesome. Well, what about like learning songs? Did you like, you know, was it all just based off, I mean, you talked about the radio, but were you, you know, a couple of years down, like trying to learn artist songs that you liked, or were you just trying to write music on your own?
Well, yeah, when it came to like learning music, I think there was like 3 or 4 songs I learned when I first started getting interested in music. The first one was Some Kind of Monster by Metallica.
Okay. on piano?
Yeah, on piano. It didn't sound right, but
that's awesome though.
there's that one. And then The Doors, Riders in the Storm. I remember my first time hearing Ray Manzarek do that climb down at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
It did something to my soul where I was like, damn, like I gotta learn that.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, I mean, Doors is huge, especially if you learn piano. Oh, yeah. I mean, keys, you can play everything of theirs. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, they're I really like this stuff.
And then I was just looking, it's funny you mentioned Metallica, because I just listened to your cover of Black Hole Sun that you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that, man. That's awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that song is very emotional for me. My mom used to sing that as a lullaby to me.
Really?
Yeah.
That is cool as hell. I've never heard anyone talk about that. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was a, you know, and... Yeah, she passed away a while ago. And so for me, doing that song was like a, you know, a part of healing in a way. So mm-hmm. it was really important for me to do that one, I think.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's awful. But I mean, how cool to have your mom, you know, singing you Soundgarden songs as you go to sleep. That's so rad.
Yeah, I think she might have messed me up as a kid, man.
I doubt it, dude. That's so rad.
No. Yeah, no, it's the best. Cornell, just that whole, oh yeah, that's what I grew up on. He's probably one of my favorite vocalists.
Oh, he's insane, man. That's so cool. Well, okay. So learning songs like covers, little covers, Doors. When did you start writing songs on your own?
Well, you know what? I think it was pretty early. I was maybe 12 or 13, even a little bit younger. And I remember it's kind of a weird story too. My father used to have this like Hewlett Packard and he put all his, you know, pirated music and shit on it. Just a ton of it. Yeah. And, I got, my mom was like, you can have my old iPod Shuffle. I'm like, thank you. And so I get it. And, you know, my dad's like, yeah, I'll help you put some music on it. You can put whatever you want on it. And I'm scrolling. And I don't know any of these bands. My dad is, you know, it's just like Fish, yada, yada, all this stuff. Sure, and yeah. I'm like, I have no idea what any of this is. I'm like 12.
Yeah.
And I come across the name. It says Nine Inch Nails, The Downward Spiral. And so I'm about to drag it onto the shuffle and my dad goes, not that one. And then I'm like, okay, of course I'm going to put that one on.
Sure. That's the one you have to listen to first.
So I listened to that record and like, I realized the emotional capacity that music can make you feel. It scared the hell out of me as a kid. Like, but like, I was like, he's yelling at me. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And just transcended everything. And then I was like, I want to make people feel like that. Well, I don't want to scare them, but like a bit.
Right.
Like, you know, like I want to understand that and be able to. I've always expressed myself way easier through art, mm-hmm. like any medium. So especially when I heard that record, I was like, I need to learn how to sing. I need to learn how to produce. And so I've been producing since I was like 12.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. And all thanks to Trent Reznor, huh?
I would say, I think that man got me into music.
Like, that's truly, rad. Truly. Wow. Okay. So 12 years old, you're producing. Were you, like, how did you even get into that at that point? Like, where did you get a pro, like, I don't know, GarageBand or Logic or something? Like, how did you even start?
Well, yeah, my dad, on the same computer, he had a copy of Fruity Loops. And it was a bootleg version.
Sure.
And I would just spend hours just like, you know, like making horrible stuff. And meanwhile, like, I was also a kid, right? Like,
right.
We had this, like, we had a Super Nintendo and it had like, this is like old game. What the hell was it called? It's like Mario Music Maker.
Huh.
And you could like, it was bizarre. It was some like Nintendo game and you could literally produce and program a whole song in it.
Wow.
So I was like a kid, like practicing how to make songs on this thing. And it transferred.
Wow. So from that game that you went on, you took that skill and knowledge and brought it onto Fruity Loops.
Yeah.
And then what were you doing with those songs? Were you putting them like SoundCloud? How'd you get your start?
Well, you know what? I didn't release anything I made until after high school. I spent it was something I did in my free time. It was just cathartic. I produced a lot of hip hop, with my friends and stuff that were, starting their own careers and whatnot. Like that, all my friends in high school, I would just be like, yeah, I'll make you a record or whatever. And I was just like that guy, but I didn't really express myself like vocally, that I was like, oh yeah,
you just make stuff too. Beats and then people would come in and like rap over it or something.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't until after high school, I was working like strings of jobs. It's like I'd work one place, work another, quit, mm-hmm. get fired, and I was like, I'll put a song out. So I put a Bad Child out. That was the first song I'd ever like fully written.
Wow.
Like, vocals, everything. I'd never finished a song before. That was the first one I finished. I put it out. I made the song in 2 days and I put it out the day after and it did extremely well. And
I'd say, I mean, I'm looking on Spotify, it's like 1.3 million plays.
Yeah, I'm lucky, man. Really lucky.
Or you're super talented, either one, but I'd go with the latter. But Bad Child was the first song you ever put out, and was that after high school? You said you didn't start putting stuff out until after high school.
Yeah, pretty much right after I got out of high school. I was working in a fabric store and cutting fabric, helping out older ladies with quilts and stuff.
Sure.
And
so.
Generally, like, it was a good experience, but I just said, to hell with it. Like, I know I want to do this. I was supposed to go to university for journalism, and mm-hmm. then I was like, nah, that's a sham. I just gotta make my own job.
Totally, man. I feel
I'm just joking. You
okay, well, so at that point you just put it, so you'd never, what about performing or anything? It was just all in your bedroom doing beats and that type of stuff, or you never went out and performed like high school or piano recitals, anything like that?
Kind of. It was something I actively kind of avoided.
Mm-hmm.
Unless like a teacher would hear something and be like, because like occasionally a teacher would be like, oh, I heard that you did this, you should, like, I would join my, I was in like high school band, I played the bass clarinet.
Oh, cool. I played clarinet when I was in fifth grade and gave up on it after fifth grade, but
and it's so, I've never told anybody this, but I've never been able to reach sheet music, and I completely lied my way through it all throughout high school, because I would just listen to like the notes people were playing. Uh-huh. And like, I learned how to play it without reading.
That's awesome. So, you just memorized it.
I would just memorize it by ear, and I'd be like, I think that's the right note. And the teacher would never notice, cause I was always in harmony.
Sure. Oh, that's hilarious. I talked to somebody a couple of weeks ago in an interview, and they're saying this similar story where they took piano lessons for 2 years, and they would just like listen and fake it and say and pretend like they could read. And they'd figure out when the page turn is and stuff. And at one point, the teacher kind of figured out what he was doing and stuck the wrong song in front of him. And he was, playing it and then turning it. And she's like, yeah, so you don't know how to read music. And he's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, that's not even the song. I just threw up a random one to see if you knew what you're doing.
Wow.
Well, it's a similar thing. I just thought of that when you said, just faking it through. That's hilarious.
That's amazing. Good Lord.
I know, that seems like it'd be more effort than just trying to learn the song as is, but that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like you've built an unattainable lie or unmaintainable, and you just have to keep
going with it,
lying, keep burying it. No, oh my God,
that's so funny. Well, okay, so you put out, what made you put out Bad Child? You just like, I've put the song out, and that was the first song you ever put vocals to as well.
Mm-hmm.
And was that, that must've been pretty terrifying if you hadn't done it before.
I don't know. I think it was at a point in my life where I just didn't feel like I had anything to lose.
Okay.
So I didn't actually feel scared about it. I felt more like in the pit of my gut, I was like, I like it. I hadn't really showed very many people. And I was just like, I like it. Someone else might. But I don't really care. You know, like mm-hmm. at the end of the day, like I should just be doing this for myself. And that song I made purely for myself. And I think that's why it happened so fast. And it was just like, yeah, just let it breathe some air. Cause I could have easily held on to it for a very long time. But mm-hmm. I just think, you know, art is better when it's digestible and it exists.
So, sure. So you put it out. And how did you start seeing, you know, the growth of the song?
Well, like when I initially put it out, I put it out under my name as well. And it wasn't until like a month or two after that I decided to share my name with the song.
Mm-hmm.
I just started noticing blogs were picking it up, and I was getting emails from people being like, hey, like, we'd love to manage you. And I'm like, I have one song out, and like, I hadn't written it. And that was the scary part too, is like, I hadn't written anything
another
else.
One. You just had
yeah,
that one.
I wasn't even actively like, you know, working on writing more. It was just something. And I started getting emails from labels, you know, like Republic, RCA, Universal,
whoa.
Just A&Rs hitting me up. And I'm like 18 and I have no idea like what's going on. And I went, sure. I should probably get a manager.
And a lawyer.
Yeah, those were some of the first steps.
Wow. So that's crazy. So that's the first song you put out. And then what do you say? Like, I only have this one song. And then is that when you went and wrote what became Sign Up?
Well, it's funny. It's actually a more arduous process that mm-hmm. it kind of went through. Like I'd only had the one song and started working with some management and, you know, talking to these labels. And I was just like, well, you know what? Kind of like shove it for a bit, guys. Like, I just need to write more. Mm-hmm. And I wrote like 6 or 7 songs, all garbage, complete garbage. Cause and you know what? It's, I think I'm better for it because mm-hmm. it's so funny. It was such like a, you know, I went, oh wow, that was so easy. It fell out of me. And it was like, I was writing music like every day at that point. I'm like, I'm going to do this.
Sure. Trying to catch to chase the first one.
Yeah. And I think that's also an issue with writing is you don't want to recreate something. Like mm-hmm. if something works, you know, you should understand what works, but you shouldn't try to recreate that same fire. You should find it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent a lot of time like, I don't know, shifting through different writing styles and figuring out how I work, because I didn't know yet.
Sure.
And the music that I wrote over the course of the year or two after that, and I mean, like, I have written a large body of work beyond this.
That record.
I probably have 3 albums done and ready to go right now.
Wow, that's amazing. That,
I'm like extremely proud of, not like, oh, this is like garbage bin. Like,
sure.
I'm proud of it. Like,
that's amazing.
So, yeah.
So, well then what, so once you get these songs, you obviously eventually got enough together where you're like, okay, I want to put out a record. And then do you go back to those labels and people and you're like, hey, I got more songs now. Like, let's chat. Like how did you get back and involved?
Well, yeah, it was sort of the conversation is like, we sort of made a digestible body of work that, you know, like I'm proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that whole body of work became a free trial, which is coming out in February on the 26th, you know, after, you know, a couple of years of making sure everything is set up perfectly. Cause we want to make sure everything runs right, you know?
Sure.
But I came back to them with this body of work, and you know, these conversations flowed naturally. And you know, eventually I decided to sign with like Universal Canada, and it has been like a very smooth journey. It's like I like to, you know, make sure creatively we're all on the same page. So that's okay. Like that communication is so important.
Sure. Sure. Well, I want to go back to the sign up album. What was When did that record come out, and how did, was that just a collective of a bunch of songs you had put out prior?
Yeah, well, Sign Up is basically, you know, the just a small EP that I've thrown together. That's you know, it's like parts of Free Trial as well.
Okay,
like it extends that. Like it's just like. Sorry, are you still there?
Yeah, you froze for a second. You just came back.
No, sorry. Someone tried to FaceTime me.
Oh, it's all good.
But Sign Up is a part of like this experience, like Free Trial. It's slowly like, because it's Free Trial is like a fairly conceptual album.
Okay.
I really went and shot myself in the foot by making my first album so conceptual.
So, well, what's the concept behind it? Tell me about that.
Well, Free Trial is about free trials. It's about using people. It's about being used as free trials.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of trying to understand, I mean, human utility in business, mm-hmm. in romance, in like everyday life. And I mean, the whole nucleus of the album, it came about when I was using Tinder, and it just clicked in my brain that I was just looking at people and just deciding yes or no with just the basis of an image,
right?
And I just kept thinking about that, and it was just like, this is such a transactionary thing going on. It's like I'm like shopping for groceries, and it felt weird. And in my brain I was like, oh, whoa, man. Like, what is that? Like, and it's not meant to be preachy, like, oh, don't use this or.
Right.
This is like a commentary on it. Like, it's just like the ups and downs of, you know, human relationships and business and love and life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But the way that I set the album up is like flanked with a ton of interludes where I've hired voice actors. To sort of play this AI app figure to make Free Trial seem like its own dating app.
I love that. I was wondering, because I was going to talk to you about the first song that you put out, $1 Million, where it's the beginning of it. It's like Free Trial. And I was like, wait a minute. And it kind of reminded me of like, if you were to use, if you went on like a royalty free music site or something, you're going to buy licensing to a song and you're trying to preview mm-hmm. and it'd be like Free Trial. Like, so you can't just snip it and use it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's
exactly
brilliant.
What I wanted. That's yeah. the same intonation. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. And I love the record. It's such a great song. That's going to be one piece of obviously the entire, the whole puzzle, which will come out in a couple weeks. Right.
Yeah, I guess so.
Very exciting. Well, have you had a chance? Like, okay. So tell me about where you were when, like, the world shut down and Corona hit. Were you touring or playing shows at that point?
Yeah, you know what was so funny? I had just landed a major U.S. tour. And I think it was like all together with everything at 45-ish dates. And then we were planning on going on another one after.
Wow.
But I, you know, I will say I'm a very paranoid person. So I read the news a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember with my, my spider senses tingled. I was like, this is going to ruin everything. And I'm talking like in like January, telling the label, I was telling everyone, I was like, we got to pull out of everything because this is going to go crazy. Most people were like, dude, you're like absolutely stupid. Like this
right.
is not going to.
And everybody thought crazy. That way. Like in January, they're like, what are you talking about? That, yeah, that's just on a ship over there, like off the sea or something.
Oh, man. Well, because like, and that's the thing. Like I felt like such, like it was the worst I told you so ever.
Right.
And I was like, well, yeah. So all of our tours are canceled. Like,
oh, man.
Ups and downs, man. I mean, you know, in a lot of ways, this is helping me learn a lot about myself and things that I've neglected. I think it's maturing me a lot. You know, like obviously not the best. And I mean, like I know you know, a ton of people who've been affected by it and mm-hmm. been hospitalized and stuff. And it's just, it's one of those things. It's just like, you know, you got to spend this time alone growing mm-hmm. and like work on yourself, because there is no better time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, with that, like knowing that, you know, this is all happening, where you, when everything kind of shut down, you said you have like, what, 3 albums worth of songs? You must have been just sitting and writing a ton, sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I've set myself a schedule, but I feel tremendously guilty if I haven't written or worked on something in a day.
Really?
Yeah. So every single day, I just tell myself, like, I have to either learn something, create, like, it's, as long as it's creating, as long as there's a creative output, I know I've had a good day.
That's awesome. With that, like, are you, I mean, you know, you talked about your tour being canceled and hopefully everything will open up soon enough, you know, but with that, like, are you going like live on your Instagram? Like, how are you, aside from doing interviews, like, how are you promoting the songs or performing the songs at all?
Well, you know, I'll do a little like broken down rendition here or there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, a lot of it for me is like, I want to maintain the integrity of what I intend to do with the music. So I truly don't mind waiting.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like you know, I've been doing like, I'll play on the Wurlitzer and sing and, you know, post a snip or something of a song broken down. I'm working on some more stuff like that right now, but it's one of those things where I'm very on the edge about it. Like I don't ever want to be a person that's like feeding the content monster.
Okay, sure. Like, well, with that, it's interesting because a lot of artists that I've talked to say, you know, like they'll have the record that's done and it's ready to come out. And there's obviously the record tour type mentality. And that's obviously changed. It's interesting that you say that you don't mind holding on to the songs. Like, you don't feel like that's going to be something, because I know some other people are like, well, that was like a snippet of time and I'm here now and not back there. Like, is it weird kind of moving forward with, you know, 3 records worth of stuff and you still can't go out and perform them to the world?
Yes and no. I think no, because when I write, I really try to not date the music. I try to.
I love that.
You know what I mean, though. Like, you can, like, if I play too much into the contemporary or too much into what is going on now in music, and I try to replicate other people's ideas in my own music, then, yeah, if I release the album in 2 years, it's going to sound like a dated pop record.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just contain myself and work with people that are like-minded and just love music, then I don't see myself getting necessarily bored of the music.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something really important to me, is that if a song excites me, like I will actively listen to my own music and enjoy it. And that's one of my tests. I'll make it, like, as I've been experimenting with it, but like I'll listen to my music now, and if I don't enjoy it, I'll can it.
Okay.
Like, I'm like, you know, some people will be like, I love that, but I'll be like,
if you don't love it, you're gonna ditch it.
Yeah, or sell it or whatever. That sort of thing, you know?
Sure, sure. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. With that, was it hard to narrow down what's gonna come on the new record? Like, did you have a ton of songs to dig through, or how did you kind of narrow it down to create a like cohesive story to your you know, to the concept album?
Well, with Free Trial, it was actually interesting. And I think when I started off writing it, giving myself a thematic or an overarching idea, I felt like it helped. But now that I've grown a little bit, I realize that I put myself through hell trying to, you know, creatively make sure everything works together. Because I would beat myself up so hard. I'm like, line's not right. I gotta,
and, oh, you sure. know,
Right, every single day. And I mean, yeah, there was like there's a tremendous backlog of music, and everything that I've selected for Free Trial is very, very in and of that world. Mm-hmm. And that's something that excites me, especially since I produce and write a lot of the stuff with myself and a few others, like to be able to contain that sound, sonic experience, and even like lyrical style to one record and then advance from it. Because like, mm-hmm. to me, it's like, you know, that's done. That's a part of me. And I'd like new sound now, something mm-hmm. new. I don't want to replicate what I've already done.
Sure. 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 With what you talked about, co-writes and stuff, like have you done that over Zoom, or like, have you been able to co-write with people during this?
I mean, I've done, a few co-writes, mostly just with like my close group. I've had, you know, a few other writes and stuff. I find it very inhuman and bizarre. I've never liked that. Like, I mean, in creative settings, it makes it feel like a job. I don't know what it is about it. Like, it's funny, like that, like what we're doing right now, mm-hmm. this whole setup, it makes so much sense. There's nothing weird about this. Like, this is completely normal. But as soon as you're like, you know, you're sitting at your desk across from someone who's sitting at their desk, and you're like, you're both trying to play at the same time, and it's lagging, and you're right, just right. like, oh, it's so inhuman. It just feels just bizarre.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. But I'm glad you're saying that this doesn't feel like work to you.
No,
this is great. I got to talk to this guy.
No.
I'm just kidding, man. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today, dude. I really appreciate it. On the aspect of this not being work, but I have one more question for you. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Do I have any advice? Yeah, I would say don't listen to anybody at all. I mean it. Not your parents, not your family, nobody. If you believe in yourself and you have a creative vision that you know is true to yourself, and people call you ridiculous or stupid for it, good. You know what I mean? Use that energy yourself.